Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about pupil disorders. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/pupil disorders or in the ophthalmology section of the second edition of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. And you can find flashcards and questions to train your knowledge and help you remember the information for longer at members.zerotofinals.com. So let's get straight into it. The pupil is formed by a hole in the center of the iris. Many conditions can cause abnormally shaped and sized pupils. Let's start by talking about the pupil size. The circular muscles in the iris are responsible for pupil constriction, making the pupil smaller. They are stimulated by the parasympathetic nervous system using acetylcholine as a neurotransmitter. The parasympathetic fibers travel along the oculomotor nerve or cranial nerve 3. The dilator muscles in the iris are responsible for pupil dilation, making the pupil bigger. The dilator muscles are arranged like spokes on a bicycle wheel, traveling straight from the inside to the outside of the iris. They're stimulated by the sympathetic nervous system using adrenaline as a neurotransmitter. Therefore, the parasympathetic nervous system causes pupil constriction and the sympathetic nervous system causes pupil dilation. A Tom tip for you. I picture a parrot sitting on the arch of the circular muscles to remember that the parasympathetic nervous system controls pupil constriction. I think to myself, parrot sympathetic. Next, let's talk about the causes of an abnormal pupil shape. Trauma to the sphincter muscles in the iris can cause an irregular pupil shape, for example, trauma during cataract surgery. Anterior uveitis can cause adhesions or scar tissue in the iris, and this can cause an irregular pupil shape. Acute angle closure glaucoma can cause ischemic damage to the muscles of the iris and an abnormal pupil shape, typically a vertical oval shape. Rubeosis iridis, or neovascularization in the iris with new blood vessels developing inside the iris, can distort the shape of the iris and change the pupil shape. This is usually associated with poorly controlled diabetes and diabetic retinopathy. Coloboma is a congenital malformation that can cause a hole in the iris and an abnormal pupil shape. And finally, tadpole pupil involves muscle spasm in part of the dilator muscle of the iris, causing a misshapen pupil. It's a temporary condition that may be associated with migraines and Horner's syndrome. Let's go through the causes of mydriasis, or a dilated pupil. The causes of mydriasis, or a dilated pupil, are congenital, stimulants, for example, cocaine, anticholinergic drugs, for example, oxybutynin, trauma to the eye, third nerve palsy, Holmes-AD syndrome, raised intracranial pressure, and acute angle closure glaucoma. Next, let's go through the causes of meiosis, or a constricted pupil. The causes of meiosis, or a constricted pupil, are Horner syndrome, cluster headaches, Argyle-Robertson pupil in neurosyphilis, opiates, nicotine use, and pilocarpine. Next, let's talk about third nerve palsy. A palsy of the third cranial nerve, which is the oculomotor nerve, causes ptosis, or drooping of the upper eyelid, a dilated non-reactive pupil, and divergent strabismus, or squint in the affected eye, with a down and out position of the affected eye. The third cranial nerve, or the oculomotor nerve, supplies all the extraocular muscles, which are the muscles that control eye movement, except for the lateral rectus and the superior oblique. Therefore, when the oculomotor nerve stops working, most of the extraocular muscles stop working, and the lateral rectus and the superior oblique, which are still working, pull the eye downwards and outwards. The oculomotor nerve also supplies the levator palpebrae superioris, which is responsible for lifting the upper eyelid. Therefore, a third cranial nerve palsy results in ptosis, or drooping of the upper eyelid. The oculomotor nerve also carries parasympathetic fibers that innervate the circular muscles of the iris. Therefore, third nerve palsy causes a dilated, non-reactive pupil, as the circular muscles in the iris can't contract and cause the pupil to constrict. Third nerve palsy can be idiopathic, without a clear cause. A third nerve palsy that does not affect the pupil, which is described as sparing of the pupil, suggests a microvascular cause, as the parasympathetic fibers have been spared, which is why the pupil still works. This may be due to diabetes, hypertension, or ischemia. A full third nerve palsy is caused by compression of the nerve, including compression of the parasympathetic fibers. This may be due to a tumor, trauma, cavernous sinus thrombosis, an aneurysm of the posterior communicating artery, or raised intracranial pressure. The oculomotor nerve travels directly from the brainstem to the eye in a straight line. It travels through the cavernous sinus and close to the posterior communicating artery. Therefore, cavernous sinus thrombosis or a posterior communicating artery aneurysm can cause nerve compression and a third nerve palsy. Next, let's talk about Horner syndrome. Horner syndrome involves a triad of ptosis, or drooping of the upper eyelid, meiosis, which is a constricted pupil, and anhidrosis, which is a loss of sweating. There may also be enophthalmos, which is a sunken eye. The light and accommodation reflexes are not affected in Horner syndrome. Horner syndrome is caused by damage to the sympathetic nervous system that supplies the face. The sympathetic nerves arise from the spinal cord in the chest. These are the preganglionic nerves. They enter the sympathetic ganglion at the base of the neck and exit as postganglionic nerves. The postganglionic nerves travel to the head alongside the internal carotid artery. A lesion to the sympathetic nervous system anywhere along this pathway can cause Horner syndrome. The location of the lesion causing Horner syndrome can be determined by the anhidrosis, or loss of sweating. Central lesions occurring before the nerves exit the spinal cord cause anhidrosis of the arm, trunk, and face. Preganglionic lesions cause anhidrosis only of the face, and postganglionic lesions do not cause anhidrosis. The causes of Horner syndrome can be remembered with the 4 S's, 4 T's, and 4 C's mnemonic. S for central causes, T for torso or preganglionic causes, and C for cervical or postganglionic causes. Central causes are the 4 S's: stroke, multiple sclerosis, swellings, meaning tumors, and sphingomyelia, which is a cyst in the spinal cord. Preganglionic causes are remembered with the 4 T's: tumor, specifically a Pancoe's tumor at the pulmonary apex or the top of the lung; trauma, thyroidectomy or removal of the thyroid gland; and top rib, referring to a cervical rib that grows above the first rib and the clavicle, causing compression of the sympathetic nerves. And postganglionic causes can be remembered with the 4 C's: carotid aneurysm, carotid artery dissection, cavernous sinus thrombosis, and cluster headaches. Congenital Horner syndrome is associated with heterochromia, which is a difference in iris color on the affected side. Cocaine eye drops can be used to test for Horner syndrome. Cocaine acts on the eye to stop noradrenaline reuptake at the neuromuscular junction. This causes a normal eye to dilate as noradrenaline stimulates the dilator muscles of the iris. In Horner syndrome, the nerves are not releasing noradrenaline, so blocking reuptake makes no difference and there's no pupil reaction. Alternatively, low-dose adrenaline eye drops, 0.1%, will dilate the pupil in Horner syndrome, but not cause any change to a normal pupil. Next, let's talk about Holmes AD pupil. A Holmes AD pupil is caused by damage to the postganglionic parasympathetic fibers. The cause is unknown. A Holmes AD pupil is dilated, sluggish to react to light, responsive to accommodation, meaning that the pupil constricts well when shifting focus from a far to a near object, and slow to dilate following constriction. This is described as a tonic pupil. Holmes AD syndrome features a Holmes AD pupil with associated absent ankle and knee reflexes. Finally, let's talk about Argyle-Robertson pupil. An Argyle-Robertson pupil is a specific finding in neurosyphilis. It's a constricted pupil that accommodates when focusing on a near object, but does not react to light. The accommodation reflex is intact, but the light reflex is absent. Argyle-Robertson pupils are often irregularly shaped. It's commonly called a prostitute's pupil due to its relation to neurosyphilis and because it accommodates but does not react. So thanks for listening to this episode on pupil disorders. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. And I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll go through eyelid disorders.